The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on just another Monday, the final Monday of the month. And what a month it has been. And just think, 26 days ago, we thought NIL was the biggest story of the year. John Talty has been covering this story for a long time, one of the most plugged-in people in the Southeastern Conference, a senior sports editor of AL.com. And John was with us on Wednesday night in Birmingham as this story was exploding. John, thank you for rejoining us. And, man, a lot has happened since then. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, I can just think back to that moment where I think for a lot of America, it was their first time hearing that this was possibly happening. So going from that initial processing of like, wow, that's a crazy story, to now only a few days later on Monday, where I think everyone's almost at the point of just assuming, yeah, this is happening. Like, this is definitely going to happen. And so just, it's kind of wild to just think how much the college football landscape has changed just since we met, a few days ago in Hoover.
John, there's so much speculation, but I want to start with the topic of Greg Sankey. And I know you've been writing about him for a long time, and it's pretty obvious a year ago this week, may have been a year ago on this date, when he convened all his people together, all the athletic directors in Birmingham. I mean, the conference in the season was in doubt, and really his reputation had not quite been cemented yet. I'm particularly interested, as someone who knew him before he ascended to take over for Mike Slive, just your thoughts on the year and a half that he has had.
Yeah, we've talked about it on your show in the past, Paul. I thought he had a great year, last year, just guiding the SEC through what was a very challenging situation. And, I think, again, as we've talked about in the past, there was not a lot of, kind of resolute, we're doing this no matter what. There were a lot of conferences that were wavering. We saw what the Big Ten and Pac-12 did, and the SEC was, really the only one, along with, I guess, the ACC. But the SEC, I would say, was the most secure, and we really want to do everything possible to try to have a season. And I think that helped, others stay in the game as well. And I think a lot of that goes back to the credit of to Greg Sankey of being able to convince, the important people in his conference, the presidents and chancellors and ADs and everybody else, that, patience was the way. And so, you go from that to now, being on the cusp of adding two of the most, I think, well-known, prestigious, prominent, whatever word you want to use, college football programs in the country, in Texas and Oklahoma. I think that he has really emerged as the dominant voice in college sports, much more so than Mark Emmert. And I think he has emerged as really the strongest and most powerful commissioner of the Power Five commissioners.
John Talty with us. John, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because, these skirmishes sometimes don't last very long, and this one I don't think will either. But, you were sitting there with us and watching the reaction last Wednesday. Since then, there's been a lot of back-channel conversation about, he said, she said, in relation to how we got to this point. I'm talking about A&M, certainly a valued and cherished member of this league, certainly has carried a lot of weight, but the damage, or if maybe there isn't any damage, but there just seems like there were a lot of hurt feelings Wednesday when the story broke. Where are we on that?
Yeah, I think that we're getting closer and closer, if not already, in kind of a stand down situation for Texas A&M. It reminds me, it's of a much greater magnitude in terms of the moving parts and things like that. But it reminds me a little bit of, I guess it was around this time a year ago when the conference moved to vote to a, conference-only schedule, and you had South Carolina put out a statement, saying that we voted against this, we didn't want this. And basically South Carolina kind of thrashed around for a day or so, and the SEC let them do that. And then they kind of like, all right, now it's time to figure out how to make this work. And so I think that they were given some latitude to thrash around a little bit. I think there were certainly some hurt feelings, as you hit on there, Paul. And I think, again, You know, that same night, I remember talking to former Texas A&M president Bowen Lofton, and I mean, as people know, like, Texas A&M left the Big 12 for a reason, and it was because of Texas. They didn't want to be dealing with Texas people anymore. They were sick of Texas basically doing what it wanted to do and not, you know, necessarily doing what was best for everybody else. They would speak on Texas A&M's behalf without Texas A&M knowing it. So there's a lot of history between those two schools, and, you know, they really liked the idea of being the only Texas school in the SEC. So I think they had some hurt feelings, and I think they're working through those. And I think, you know, the SEC, it seems like, gave them a little bit of latitude to work those out publicly. And I think at this point, I would not expect to see much more public complaining or whatever you want to call it from people representing Texas A&M, because I think at this point, like, this train is moving full speed ahead. I don't see any hurdles stopping it. And, you know, I think at this point they want everybody to be on the same page, and, you know, they don't need a school speaking out against what could be a very good thing for the conference.
Okay, John, let's get to the landscape of college football now. You mentioned, you know, Sankey's move. He's already been moving in this direction for some time, but clearly is the major domo of college athletics. On OU in Texas and everything else, what's happening today, and where does this go?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of people scrambling right now. I think you're seeing that pretty much in every conference that's not called the SEC. I think you're seeing a lot of reactive moves. And I think, you know, what you're seeing is someone, you know, and Greg Sankey has been established, got some time to learn on the job. And now you have, you know, in terms of the Power Five, you have three basically brand new commissioners in those roles having to basically scramble to figure out a solution. You've got some angry people in those conferences. And you've got, you know, the most experienced other commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, who is obviously facing a lot of pressure from his member institutions to figure out, how do we survive? How do we keep this all together? So you're seeing a lot of scrambling. I think that, you know, from people I've talked to over the last few days, there is an expectation for more realignment. I don't think anybody expects it to end with just Texas and Oklahoma. There will be more moving parts. And I think, you know, one thing that I've gotten from talking to different people today is, you know, a statement that's kind of come back to me is that, like, it's basically a kill or be killed moment for everybody. It's either you're going to go out and you're going to find a way to enhance your conference, or you know, face the threat of losing maybe some of your valuable pieces. I think Sankey is clearly the big shark in that situation. Now we'll figure out who else has the capabilities to bolster their conference, or again, risk possibly losing maybe what they believe to be people who are very secure right now in their conference to the SEC or other conferences. So I think it's a very tenuous situation for a lot of different conference and, you know, school leaders right now trying to figure out, you know, where is our place in this? And of course, you know, making sure that when the music stops, that they have a chair for themselves.
Nobody more plugged in than our current guest, John Talty from AL.com. John, let's get to what's ahead. And I mean, it doesn't matter where you are. You can pick it. You can choose your rumor if you want. But I'd rather not do that with you, since I know you have sources deeply embedded throughout college athletics. You know, we know Texas and Oklahoma, barring the end of the world, will end up in the SEC at some point in the near future. Does it stop here? Does it go beyond that? Do we have a complete big bang of college realignment? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's. You know, that's a great question. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out right now. You know, I think that there's been certainly some conversation and speculation, you know, that this is end in basically a super league, whether that's like the, you know, NCAA, like the NFL, or, you know, I think people have compared it to Premier League, different things like that. I certainly think there are some very smart people in college athletics that think that is probably the likely end game. You know, we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. But I think that of the people that I've talked to, no one thinks that the realignment wheel stops at just Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC. I think they expect, you know, again, whether that's, you know, Big 12 adding schools, whether that's ACC, Big 10. I mean, there's a lot of, like you said, there are a lot of rumors out there right now that are kind of making the rounds that could, you know, lead to all kinds of different possible scenarios if they come true. But I think there has to be more moves. I think just the way this is set up, and that's the thing that's going to be very important to figure out. I think that, we take a step back for a second. the SEC, you know, potentially adding Texas and Oklahoma, which, like you said, I think is the full expectation, and people think that process is going to be pretty seamless at this point. You know, they are now at 16 teams, and, you know, that gives them a lot of power. If you're the ACC or Big Ten or Pac-12, you know, you're going to be probably looking to make a similar move. And you also, you know, have to be defensive potentially at whether the SEC might want to poach one of your teams. You know, everybody just saw what happened to the Big 12, but it could happen to other places too. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts in regards to that. And, you know, things are moving extremely fast right now. I'm sure it'll take some time to work out all of those moving parts, but I wouldn't be shocked to see some more things happen in the next couple of weeks.
John, I got to stop you there. I know you're from the New York area. I believe your father is involved in Wall Street. I mean, are we going back to the late 80s here with Gordon Gekko? I mean, are people just gobbling up each other just for sport? I mean, what do you explain a little bit more, because you just dropped a bomb on us there.
Well, like I said, I think it's kill or be killed. I mean, the way that, you know, this has been explained to me, some of the onus behind this is that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma have made clear that they wanted out of the Big 12, and that kind of led to them, you know, wanting to be in the SEC. And I think for the SEC, it's, you know, do we want to add Texas and Oklahoma, or do we want some other conference to add Texas and Oklahoma? Of course, we want to be the ones to add Texas and Oklahoma. So you're going to see that play out elsewhere. It's, do you want to be the one who's holding a conference that's getting picked apart, or do you want to go out and be aggressive and try to bolster your conference at the expense of others? I think once there's some blood in the I keep going back to sharks, but that's just what it makes out to me, is that once there's blood in the water, you know, you want to get after it. You want your conference to try to be proactive to make sure that you're not the one getting picked apart. And so that's what you're seeing right now. I think that, you know, any sort of I think if you didn't learn this lesson last year, you should have, but you should especially know now that as much as leaders, you know, talk about trying to do things together, for a long time, this sport has been run by individual conferences doing what is best for them. And so that played out a lot during the COVID era of conferences doing their own things. And you're seeing that even more now. You know, there might be some good congeniality between conferences when times are good. But when it's a situation like this, when you have to do everything possible to ensure the best interest of your conference, you know, you'll take two good schools out of a conference that you might be really good friends of their commissioner, because that's just the way it has to be. So, yeah, I believe that this is a part where, you know, whether you mentioned Gordon Gekko, you know, the kind of that venture capitalist corporate raider mentality, I think that's just the way it has to be. You're going to go in to a conference, you're going to try to take the best pieces of it, and then, you know, you leave the scraps for them to figure out.
Yeah, a couple of Jaws references too. The most famous line in Jaws is, "We're going to need a bigger boat." So, I know I'm going to be before you were even thought of as a kid. But my final question, and I don't mean to keep harping back on this thing that you said a minute ago, but you almost seem to be suggesting that maybe Gordon Gekko, that is to say Greg Sankey, maybe going elsewhere. Where else could he go?
Well, you know, I'll go back to, you know, what, you know, the conversation I had with, you know, former Texas A&M president Bowen Lofton, who, you know, guided Texas A&M into the SEC and went through that whole expansion process. And what he brought up to me, and I don't think it's a unfair point, is that, you know, if you're looking to expand your geographic footprint, you know, but still kind of stay within the core of the SEC, it would make a lot of sense to look at places like Virginia, places like North Carolina. By Virginia, I mean Virginia Tech in particular. I think that if you're looking at the geographic fit of the SEC, you know, there are some schools in the ACC that seem to fit in very well with that. I mean, of course, you know, it's the example that's been used in the past as well, is that, you know, and often used it with me, is that, you know, South Carolina would never want Clemson, and Florida would never want Florida State, even if those two schools would make a lot of sense, you know, for the SEC. And so, you know, now we kind of saw a situation in which Texas is moving down the path to joining the SEC, even despite Texas A&M's objections. So, you know, maybe some of the old rules that people played under are gone, and it might open up some possible expansion possibilities that way as well. So, you know, I think we know that Texas and Oklahoma are moving down that path, and I think we'll see where it can go from there. But again, I think it's important to remember that, you know, this is just the beginning, I think, in the grand scheme of things for realignment, and there could be more coming down the pike for a lot of different people.
Final question. I think I've said that three times. I feel like I'm at a concert, and the group just keeps coming back for more encores. And my lighter has burned through my hand here. But, John, finally, this. You're a Maryland guy, and what Maryland spent, what, $30 million getting out of the ACC? You mentioned a couple of ACC schools. I mean, I'm assuming they would have to spend the same thing, or have things changed since then?
Yeah, I mean, there is some pretty expensive grant of rights deals there at the ACC, and I think that's, you know, something that we'll see, I think, with Texas and Oklahoma. I think that's going to be one of the biggest pieces of their situation is, you know, right now they're all kind of talking about, you know, we intend to play it out through the end of our contract because they don't want to lose out on that TV money, but I expect there to be lawyers involved in that situation, and maybe they reach some sort of settlement that makes sense for them. So I think, as you know, Paul, you know, lawyers usually have a shot to be the big winners in any of these kind of situations. There'll be lots of billable hours to figure everything out. So I don't think anything's impossible with these things. There's always a number that can get you out of any situation, but there is a lot of money involved with those sorts of things. And so that certainly would be the biggest prohibitive, I think, for any sort of conference, Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, whatever one you want to name, looking at trying to pluck away ACC schools is, you know, kind of the deal they have in place. But it's not impossible, and I think that it's certainly something that, you know, lawyers can try to figure out if that's what the desired outcome is for everybody.
Okay, just for the record, John, I have three more questions, but they're telling me we have to go. We will do this again very soon. I can talk to this guy all day long. John Talty from AL.com. And listen, I heard him loud and clear. Is the ACC now in play? Was that what he was suggesting? It certainly feels like he was at least sending that flare up. We're heading to a break. Much more to come. 855-242-7285. And you thought last week was crazy.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And Wade is up next in Okie City. Good afternoon. Wade, out in Oklahoma City, thanks for calling.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you. And welcome to the SEC, by the way, prematurely.
Well, I appreciate it. We're excited. Just excited to listen to your show. Last week was the first time I've ever listened.
Well, it's not nearly as bad as those folks in Oklahoma City have made us out to be. I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Well, we're excited. We've got a pretty good brand of football and looking forward to playing the SEC. I had a group of friends that went down to Tennessee in 2015, and that was a heck of an atmosphere, heck of a game.
Yeah, I've talked to a few friends who cover OU, and they say that's one of the most amazing things they've ever experienced. And by the way, I felt the same way. I've told this story before, but I went out to Norman in, I believe it was 2002, when Alabama played out there early in the year. It was a second game of the year in September. Great game,
right,
by the way. And I've been to college football games throughout my entire life, and I can say without fear or favor, that's the hottest stadium I've ever been in.
We can get warm that time of the year.
No, but, I think who was it who told me? Jason Kersey or somebody out there told me that may have. I mean, the temperature was high 90s or low 100s heat index. It was one of the hottest days ever in Norman, and that's saying something.
Without a doubt. Well, you guys are sure getting a taste of A&M lately, aren't you? This is what we dealt with for many years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know all you guys used to be in the same league together, but I think the A&M complaint train will pass.
I think it has to. I think they'll realize they need to go along.
I mean, A&M, I don't need to give instructions to A&M. I think it's a fantastic, but right now A&M is in a fantastic position. They shouldn't be concerned about anything other than what they have, and they have one of the top programs in America. And I talked to an A&M official the other night who was bothered by some of the things, but I don't think they're overly concerned about Texas right now.
Well, they're concerned about something, and it seems to always be Texas.
I think they felt like they had this rarefied position in this very cool fraternity, and they found out that the doors were open for more members. But that's understandable. Hey, thanks for the call. I really appreciate that, Wade. Nick is up next in Houston. Nick, you're on the air. Okay, how about let's try Nick again. Well, we won't try Nick. We are... how about this? Kudzu. I mean, Kudzu, where do you think Kudzu lives? Alabama. Or Atlanta, excuse me. Lives in Georgia. Kudzu, Georgia, makes a lot of sense. Kudzu, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there, Kudzu. What's happening?
Paul, you there?
Yeah, I am. Well, that's a matter of opinion, but I am here, yes.
Oh, sorry. I had a little background noise. Hey, listen, Paul, I just want to talk about the expertise of Greg Sankey and a couple case in points, how he brilliantly laid this thing out. I know you remember this, but you remember how philanthropic Sankey was and said, due to the pandemic and all the hardship, well, I'm just going to throw $25, $35 million out to each school in the SEC. And I think that was just a further message to both Oklahoma and Texas. Not only do we want you in our conference, but we've got the financial resources. Oh, by the way, look at this little extra money that you're going to have in the coffer. Then he proceeds all of a sudden to have a little announcement from the chancellor of Vanderbilt of how they're fully committed now to a new project. And I'm not so sure there wasn't a conversation somewhere. Hey, look, we're stepping up the plate here. You're either in or you're out on the SEC. You're going to step up your resources, or there are going to be some changes down the road. And I think that made all the other further members in the SEC, once that distribution check came in, he had the votes in line, because they know that. Money does it all. And at that point, not only did he have the backing from the conference, but he just further illustrated it with the television contract with the new contract with the SEC.
Yeah, Kudzu, by the way, you just mentioned the key to all of this.
And, I'm just amazed at how he played this thing out.
Well,
I really...
you're right, and thanks for the call. We have to go to a break, but don't forget, the biggest part of all this has not even happened yet, and that's the deal that was announced last December between ESPN and the SEC. That's the 3:30 Saturday game. That's the premier game of the week. That's moving over to ESPN soon. When, we're not sure. It may be sooner than you think after the last week. Up against the break, more of your phone calls, 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back. Great to have all of you here. And Nick is in Houston. Nick, you're that's Texas country out there, Aggie country. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great.
Glad to hear. You happy to be back in your facility?
Yeah. you know, we've done this show from a couple of different places over the last year. Bunkers and, you know, sheds, but it's great to get the band back together again.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad. You look like you're a little bit more chipper today, so I'm glad to hear.
Well, I mean, this is always cool, but I have been, I don't know what's happened. I mean, I don't know why I am so fired up about this, but I just, this is one of the more exciting moments I think we've seen here in a long time, the possibility of the Sooners and the Longhorns.
Well, I hate to rain on that one right now. Now, first off, I'm the LSU fan. I'm married an Aggie, so this is starting to affect my personal life right
well,
now.
Yeah, by the way, LSU and anything from Texas don't get along.
Well, I guess you could say that too. I mean, you know, we like our AC and our guest locker rooms, but you know, that's cool. You don't have to give it to us. Just wait till you join the conference and you have to deal with it every other year in Baton Rouge, Texas. But you're right. I think you said earlier a lot of people point the finger at Texas for being the reasoning to the issue with the Big 12, and it's with good reason. I mean, they are the reason the Big 12 has fallen behind. When other conference got networks, the Big 12 didn't, and I hate to bring you in on this if this makes you uncomfortable because I'm talking about your company's affiliates.
It's okay.
But, I mean, the Big 10 got a network, and each school got $43 million a year, and SEC Network gives out about 35, 36. I'd love to hear those exact numbers if you ever have them.
I think you're
but,
close.
You know, each school is getting a lot of money, and that can go towards all of your other sports. It kind of levels out the playing field. And for the past 10 years, the Longhorn Network's gotten all this money. It's a network that's actually been losing money, from my understanding, and they're the only team that gets it. Nobody else does. Obviously, Oklahoma can keep up because it's an institution. But it's kind of hard for Kansas and Kansas State to keep up when everybody else is getting money across the country and they're not. And the thing that I think is just ridiculous about this is, so Texas basically gets to be the strong armor here. They get to be the major downfall of the Big 12, and then they get to just up and leave and go to the SEC. I mean, again, I hate to put you in this position, but I mean, Texas definitely cannot double dip into the Longhorn Network and the SEC Network. That's got to go if this is going to happen.
Yeah, listen, I can say this with great authority. I haven't spoken to an ESPN executive since this happened. You know, there's a line of demarcation, but you have to assume the Longhorn Network will be merged into this existing situation, and I don't know how they'll compensate for what they have been doing out there, but you know that's not going to be an issue. And by the way, I understand it. I happen to.
Right.
Been out in College Station about 9 years ago, right around the time, right. It was the first week. It was one of the first weekends. It was the LSU weekend of the first year of A&M being in the league. And I heard more DeLoss Dodd Longhorn Network jokes that could laugh. And the big joke was, let me be honest. I told the big. I was the MC of the event. Gene Stallings was being honored. And I told this story about how I've been flying all over Texas trying to find the Longhorn Network. And I finally got to DeLoss Dodd's house. He's a former AD, legendary
right.
figure. And I said, DeLoss, I got to see what this network looks like. He said, well, I don't get it here either. And that was the problem. The Longhorn Network took a long time before it got full distribution.
Well, it took me to move to Texas to actually understand it and, you know, kind of meet Aggies. Because, you know, we're in the SEC. Why do we care about what's going on in the Big 12 when they're not doing anything? I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Hurricane Katrina the last time that somebody won from that division. It was Texas and with Vince Young. And, I mean, you know, they've been pretty irrelevant for a while. But they've always had quality, at least in Oklahoma. But Texas just has not been a great program. Now, I look forward to them joining us in baseball. As far as it goes there, I mean, they're a good program, but wait till you have to go through the gauntlet. Because if you think that we have a football gauntlet, just wait till you see our baseball gauntlet. I think that they're going to do well in a lot of smaller sports. It's going to be great to have OU in at softball. That's going to be a great fit right there, I think. It's going to add. But, you know, I think a factor that we need to also discuss, and this is minor this early, it's a couple extra miles right there. I mean, Texas A&M is currently the furthest school away from, you know, in the West, and they're about 400 miles from LSU, 350 miles from LSU. I mean, Austin's another 2 hours from College Station, and then Norman's way out there. So, I mean, it's just something to consider. But, again, those are all small things. The big thing is that Texas has not done anything in all these years, even with all that Longhorn Network money, as far as football goes. And I just don't like them as a program with how they like to strong-arm people around. I don't think they're going to be able to do that here, but a lot of things are going to change when Saban leaves and it's just as they get more and more comfortable in the SEC. So I think we just all need to kind of stick together and make sure that whatever shenanigans they've been pulling in the Big 12 all these years, that doesn't fly in the SEC. Thanks a lot, Paul, and good talking to you again.
Thank you. By the way, I want to apologize to our restaurant friends. I think I mispronounced a word, and queso. I'm sorry. No hablo español. Only took 4 years of it. Let's go to a lot of good that did me. I mean, when I go to a Mexican restaurant, I just ask the beer. And by the way, I'm a big fan but I just I mispronounced it. What can I do? I don't speak English that well either. Daryl is up next. How are you, Daryl?
What's going on, Paul?
We're doing great. How about you?
Well, I was doing great. I found out Oklahoma and Texas want to come to SEC. I mean, I don't want them. Do you want them?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Well, because, Daryl, I try to look ahead. You know, I believe in being a futurist. I've lived in the past too much in my life, and I'm no longer doing that.
It was much more fun, Paul, beating them while they're in the Big 12. You know what I mean? Because now what we're going to do is we're going to stand them up after we beat them, dust them off, bandage them up, build back up their pride, because that's what we do in the SEC. We take care of our own, you know? With the Big 12, all we had to do was kick their butt. We just left them out there and didn't have to worry about it. Let the buzzers circle around them and chew on them. But now I don't see how – I know they're still wanting to come to the SEC, not the SEC going out and getting them, right?
Well, Daryl, I would say there's a little bit of both. I think the SEC, when it's all said and done, is pretty happy to have them.
They have no idea what they're asking for, Paul. Why do they draw a schedule and have to go to Bryant-Denny and play Alabama? Then go to Athens and play Georgia. Then go to the Swamp and play Florida.
Come on,
then go to LSU and put down arrows Saturday night. Paul, they're going to be mediocre.
Daryl, I've got to chastise you. You think it's easy playing West Virginia and Baylor and Texas Tech?
This ain't the Red River Shootout, you know what I mean? I mean, this ain't Texas. Yeah, Texas Tech and all them nobody schools.
I'll tell you one thing, Daryl.
My first job,
I happened to be in Dallas for that game, and I would rank that game among the greatest rivalries I've ever been to.
What has A&M and Mizzou done since they've been in the conference?
Oh, I don't know.
Very little, okay?
A&M finished fourth in the country last year.
Fourth? I said what they do in the conference. I didn't say in the country.
Well, Missouri.
How many SEC titles have they won?
Well, that would be easy. I mean, how many SEC titles has anyone won?
Mediocre, Paul. They're going to be 7-4, and that's if they choose their two out-of-conference games or a bunch of nobodies, which they probably will.
Hey, Daryl, I mean, maybe this is a silly question, but, you know, most people, when they're in a business, they try to grow the business and expand their wings. I know that
we don't need no more, Paul. Paul, let me ask you this. You know where they go? Okay, I'm sure one's going to the west, one's going to the east, right? That's where it's going to be?
I don't have any idea.
Going to be like a total real life.
You know, I'm in on all this.
Well, I mean, yeah, I thought you were Mr. SEC. Oh, that's right. It's Tony Barnhart. I'm sorry. I called
you
wrong.
So I suggest you call Tony and ask him.
Paul, I would think that Texas is probably going to be in the east and Oklahoma in the west. Does that sound about right?
Daryl, I don't know. I mean, you could have divisions. You could have no divisions. You could have pods. You seem rather concerned about this, Daryl.
If Texas can't win in the Big 12, they're not going to win in the SEC in football. It is not going to happen, okay? I think they came here because, you know why? Because they're scared of A&M. They know that A&M is going to take over the state. They know that they're a bunch of nobodies. They went out there and hired Herman. They had all this talent. It used to be big time. They have been absolutely nothing, and they're going to remain nothing when they come to this conference. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. We will find out. See you, Paul.
What else do you need to know when Daryl has chimed in? We are heading to a break. We'll get some more expert opinion at the top of the hour. We've already talked to John Talty a minute ago, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We continue here on a Monday afternoon. Let's check in with I-Man. Haven't heard from him since all the big news broke. I-Man, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm rather excited about the Texas-Oklahoma addition. You know, with the NIL and the 12-team playoff stuff announcing as it was, it had an annoyance to it, if you will. But now you start talking about Texas and Oklahoma, it's almost like you see a well-laid plan. And I tell you what, the future of the SEC is going to be astronomical, because I think Texas and Oklahoma coming here shows the absolute power that the SEC office has created. And I tip my hat to them. And as far as who wins and loses games, that's why you play them, Daryl. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. I think that Texas and Oklahoma bring a strength of schedule to this conference. When you start thinking about the top 20 and you're adding those teams, we're going to beat each other up. But I tell you what, when you're in that kind of playing that kind of a power, sometimes a loss is a good ranking. And I tell you, this, the SEC is fixing to become a monster all across the board, baseball, basketball, softball, you name it.
Well, you know, Daryl would have been happy with the original. Of course, Georgia was in there, but he would have been happy with the original 13 colonies. So, you know, why expand? I mean, we're in the first 13. I mean, so, why do we need? Why do we need to go beyond where we are?
And why purchase Louisiana?
Yeah,
but you know, Paul, I tell you, when you had a guest on Friday, you were talking to somebody, and it does sound like the NCAA is losing its teeth. And maybe everybody is expanding for the future to save this game. And I'm all for that. And for whatever reason, the 12-team playoff and the name, image, and likeness money is kind of calming down with me to where, hey, this is the future. Just like this program, it's got to evolve, and that's the only way it's going to do it. Is move forward. And
I think where we would be if we had stayed with the original seven callers.
It'd be seven people. But I tell you, welcome back to the studio. Much, much, much good to see you.
Thank you very much. It's great
y'all
to
have a great day.
Everybody back. Let's see here. Cat Daddy in South Carolina. What are you up to today, Cat Daddy?
Yeah.
Cat Hello? Daddy, you're on.
Hey, Big Paul, you looking good? You sounding good? And I want to congratulate you, sir, on your contract extension.
Thank you so much. It was a 5-4 vote in favor of keeping me, but I'm really glad I was able to buy off that final vote.
Well, the last person I congratulated that to was Will Muschamp. You know, he got an extension too, but I don't think you need to worry about that.
Well, the only thing I'm a little bit upset about, Cat Day, unlike Muschamp, I mean, if they don't like me, they just get rid of me. With Muschamp, they had to pay him $20 million.
Yes, we did. And still pay it, I guarantee you. Look at here, they talking down here on the radio that Clemson was offered to come to the SEC. And then there's a rumor that somebody in the Charlotte airport saw Mac Brown and Dabo Sweeney getting on a plane headed to Birmingham. What up with that?
Yeah, that happened earlier today. And I don't want to upstage the tomorrow show. But, yeah, tomorrow Clemson and North Carolina join the SEC. So, by the way, that means the Clemson-Georgia game in Charlotte on September 4th, that'll be an SEC East Conference game.
Hey,
that'll be the old JP game that day.
They're not going to have them that soon, are they?
Yeah, they got to take the ACC logo off the field at Bank of America Stadium to make that work, but I think we can do it.
All right, well, tell old Kubiak, glad to see him back.
Yeah, it's good to have Kubiak. And thanks, Cat Day. Yeah, we saw Kubiak today. Wow. I mean, he was dressed just like he was the last time we saw him, as a leprechaun. We are going to – Notre Dame's coming to the SEC, too. I think we'll talk to Kubiak about that in a few minutes. We are heading to the break. Brandon Marcello with the national perspective on this ever-changing story.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.